and proceed to the final argument of the day, which is Florida Health Sciences Center versus the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Good morning, Your Honors. Dennis Van on behalf of the United States. The district court in this case accepted Article III jurisdiction over a suit alleging that it was entirely legal and indeed required for the federal government to enforce the Federal Patient Safety Act, notwithstanding state law. Such a preemption suit, a preemption challenge against the United States, is a contradiction in terms. It's not an actual Article III controversy at all. And it certainly would not be the basis for a permanent injunction, which is what the district court in this case has entered. I want to focus on one small piece, which I think has might have gotten muddled in the course of briefing, which is if you bring a lawsuit against the federal government or any entity, you need to allege that they have done something wrong. You can't bring a discrimination suit against your employer alleging that your employer has not discriminated against you. In the same way, you can't bring a preemption suit against the federal government asserting that the federal government has more authority, not less, because of the preemption doctrine, which is grounded in the supremacy clause. So in that sense, the suit kind of has a myriad of problems to it. And I think the easiest way to dispose of it is just to say that there is no such thing as a federal preemption suit. And that's not a real controversy because both sides, agree that there is preemption. The federal government agrees in this instance that there is preemptive force to the Federal Patient Safety Act, and it has all the same interests as the other side has. There's some notion in the briefing that this might not be a preemption challenge at all. I don't know how the plaintiffs could step away from that framing. I'll just kind of point out their complaint at page 7, but I'll also point out their summary judgment briefing. If you look at document 58, if you ever have the chance to, the first sentence of it says, in this declaratory judgment action, we are seeking a declaration that the Patient Safety Act preempts state law. That's just an inescapable conclusion of what this suit is. Insofar as they are now saying they don't want preemption, and that's not the declaration that they're seeking, and all they're seeking is a declaration that their documents are patient safety work product, that's an even more abstract dispute. And I think that's the case for three reasons, and I'll just kind of point these out briefly. The Patient Safety Act question is only really, patient safety work product question is only really relevant in their state court proceedings, and this is pretty clearly just an end run around a state court's determination of what is or isn't patient safety work product.
I'm sorry to interrupt your points, but on that note, on the state court proceeding, what is the status of Mr. Brawley's appeal, if you know?
My understanding is the appeal is still pending. It's in the middle of briefing, and I think the FLE brief has been recently filed in the past month, which is Tampa General's brief.
It's just still pending. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. But of course, as Your Honor knows, the sort of contempt order and the order to disclose these documents is, been completely wiped off the books. So right. It'd be pretty speculative to say somewhere down the road, not only will the Florida State Court of Appeals reverse, but then there will be a new request for adverse medical information, which only kind of demonstrates why this permanent injunction isn't really proper. The second point I'll say is, even if you just want to declaration that something is patient safety work product, HHS isn't the right person to sue about that for two kind of small reasons. One is we have the exact same interests as hospitals do over patient safety work product. You need some sort of adverse interest. HHS wants to protect patient safety work product. Hospitals want to protect their patient safety work product. And even if we had some sort of hypothetically adverse views on what exactly it was patient safety work product, if it is patient safety work product, again, HHS has more authority, not less. And that is like the fundamental anomaly of that sort of declaratory claim, is if you bring a claim against somebody and you say, well, this is patient safety work product, now look, you have a greater amount of authority. That's not really a lawsuit, because that's not an allegation that you've done anything wrong. That's just a lawsuit that attempts to give the federal government more power and not less power to do something legally. So, unless this court has questions, I'm happy to reserve any time for rebuttal. And I think this court should reverse or in the alternative, vacate the injunction.
Thank you, do either one of my colleagues have any questions for Mr. Fan? Nope. All right, thank you, we appreciate it. We'll give you time on rebuttal.
Excuse me, I apologize. My name is Amy Dilday. I represent Tampa General Hospital. I will be splitting my time with Mr. Bolin for the intervener. There are two questions before the court today. The first is whether the district court correctly found that Tampa General had a right based on standing and jurisdiction to seek relief in the federal court. And the second is then whether that relief was correctly granted. I will address this, the secretary's argument first about the lawfulness of enforcement, because that's where he wants to hang his hat. And Tampa General agrees that it is uncommon to seek relief where there are no allegations of unlawful conduct, but it's not entirely unprecedented. In the New Hampshire Health Council case, there was nothing illegal about the broad definition of marijuana that the federal criminal statutes had. Hemp growers in New Hampshire wanted their legislature to make hemp growing legal, and so they sued the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, for a statement that hemp growing did not apply to the federal criminal statutes. They complained that the federal statutes should not apply to their actions, but acknowledged that as written, it did. That's why they needed the suit. Similarly, in these cases and in other cases where, for instance, Larson, the church had standing, even though the injunction it sought about determining whether it could collect 50% of fines, or it had to register if it collected more than 50% of its funds from solicitations, did not give them complete relief. They still had standing. In Utah versus Evans, Utah had standing against officials calculating census results, even though they just claimed, not that the calculation was illegal, but it was done incorrectly, didn't apply to the case, shouldn't be done the way that it was done. And so they had standing to challenge those census numbers, even though the people certifying the census numbers weren't even before the court, because the officials doing the calculations couldn't certify the numbers.
Can I ask you a question? This is Judge Newsom, but just to get back to a couple of Mr. Fan's points, and maybe I'm just not understanding, but you know, he says, look, at the most basic level, there's no adversity here because, you know, we're sort of pro patient safety, see the act. The hospital is pro patient safety, see the act. They want the protection of the act. We provide the protection of the act. So sort of why have they sued us? What's the answer to that question?
The answer to that question, Your Honor, is, and in none of these pre-enforcement cases, you see that basically Tampa General is in this very unique position where they are under conflicting state laws that actually require them to violate the act. And
why? I mean, so you are under conflicting obligations, but Mr. Fan says, see the supremacy clause, Your federal obligation trumps, and your problem, your beef isn't with me. Your beef is with someone else.
Certainly.
So why have you sued me, basically, is what he asks.
Right. I get that, and I understand that. The problem is that there is no relief in the state court. We don't have a means to get relief in the state court, and that's exactly what the district court held. It found, it based its decision on the Florida Supreme Court decisions that have found that Amendment 7 is a broad discovery right. It's not limited by privileges that the federal act would provide. It's not limited by overburdensome or any of those usual discovery restrictions. It's really a blank slate for discovery. It's held that Amendment 7 is.
Ms. Dilday, it's Beverly Martin. You started this part of your response by saying Tampa General's in a unique situation because they've got these conflicting obligations. But how is it unique? I mean, isn't everybody who's subject to the Patient Safety and Quality Improvement Act in Florida under the same conflicting obligations that Tampa General is?
Right, Your Honor. Let me clarify. I meant by saying we're unique as to when you look at all of these other standing cases, the people seeking relief were seeking relief from, for instance, a government statute, a federal statute or something, but they did not have at the same time behind their backs the state saying you must violate this statute because we have a requirement for those documents. And although it's the same for all the hospitals in Florida, all those who participate in the Patient Safety Act, it's not the same throughout the country. There's not other states where hospitals-
You're similarly situated to everybody else who's subject to the Patient Safety and Quality Improvement Act in Florida, right?
In Florida, but not throughout the nation. It's a federal act.
I understand. So at the moment, Tampa General is not under any contempt order. There's nobody pressing on you to produce these documents that you said the statute protects you from having to produce. Why isn't your case moot at this point?
Your Honor, we concede that the likelihood of the injury is very much reduced because we've been granted summary judgment in the trial court. Based on that summary judgment, the court vacated its contempt order, and we do not have to produce the documents immediately, but Brawley's case is still pending. It's pending in the appeal court. Tampa General just filed its answer brief. Within the last few weeks, he's going to be filing a reply brief, and it is based on a summary judgment. Tampa General feels that it was correctly granted summary judgment. But in Florida, a final judgment, that being the trial court's final judgment, is not final until the time for appeal has passed and no appeal is taken, or the time for the appeal has run the process and then a final judgment has either been.
So the injury that you're alleging is if Mr. Brawley prevails on appeal and if the district court then orders us to produce these documents. And if, you know, it turns out that we have to produce them, then that's the injury you're worried about, right?
The injury that we're concerned with in this suit is not having to produce the documents against Mr. Brawley, but it's-
But you wouldn't have to do that unless the things that I just named all happened, right? He would have to win on appeal. You'd have to go back to district court, have the district court order you to produce them. And none of that's happened, right?
Oh, it is not currently happening. No, you're right. If we win on appeal, it's over and the injunction should be vacated. It doesn't apply anymore. But if it does go back to the trial court, the same substantial likelihood of Mr. Brawley pursuing his rights, his constitutional rights, to these medical adverse medical incident reports still exist the same way it did when we originally filed it in the district court. It's not speculative. Every medical malpractice patient in Florida that has a lawyer that's savvy at all with Amendment 7, they just, as a matter of course, seek these documents and they seek them you know, unrelated to time, unlimited to a particular injury, unlimited to a position. So it might not be
speculative, I guess, in the abstract, but Judge Martin's point is that it's your problem, the pinch as to you is based on this chain of contingencies now, at the very least, as a result of the appellate posture, right? And so the Supreme Court has said, look, the more kind of mousetrappy, you know, the causal connection looks, the less likely we are to find imminence or ripeness, or on Judge Martin's phrasing, the more likely it is that perhaps that the whole thing is moot. I mean, it just seems like you might have Article III problems sort of all over the place.
Correct, Your Honor. I would agree that if this court decides, because it's on appeal, because the final judgment is entered, it's moot. And if it's moot, you don't have jurisdiction, or at least it isn't a case you could be considering, then I would suggest that this court should dismiss the case and vacate the injunction, or refer in order to vacate the injunction. But that does not mean that because this court right now, the standing issues do not exist, that the district court's order was incorrect. So the district court, so there shouldn't be a ruling that the district court incorrectly found jurisdiction or found standing or you know, made the findings that it did because of the mootness that exists right now during this appeal.
But there's, of course, the larger question of whether federal courts can enjoin the executive branch from enforcing an act of Congress, you know, where everybody agrees that act preempts.
Everybody in Florida courts, right. I mean, that, you know, we have this rock in a hard place. Tampa General had to pick its poison. And quite honestly, because it could not get relief in the state courts, the federal courts was where it had to come. This is just a situation where it's unprecedented that a state court would look at express preemption language and say that there is no preemption. And I would argue again, just based on New Hampshire Hemp Council, that even though there can't be relief in the state court, that this in this isolated incident, just like the New Hampshire farmers argued, that the court should find that the injunction was appropriate. And I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. We'll hear from Mr. Bolin now.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Andy Bolin. I represent Patient Safety Organization Florida, of which Tampa General Hospital is a member. We are a federally registered patient safety organization. There are over 20 hospitals, as well as physician practice groups in the state, as well as other jurisdictions that are members, and that joined with the idea that they would reap the protections of the Patient Safety Quality Improvement Act. If I might offer some basis for or some response to the secretary's position that there's no present harm, the situation in Florida is this. The Charles versus Southern Baptist Hospital case is a case that suggests that these documents that hospitals consider our patient safety work product, that those documents are something that every patient, and a patient is not defined synonymously with plaintiff, but that every patient in Florida, whether current or former, has access to these documents. And the fact that those documents are required to be produced, documents that the hospital believes are patient safety work product, at any time with simply a request by letter, then creates a scenario where we are required, we meaning hospitals, patient safety organization members, are required to give up those documents. The only reason there hasn't been an adverse action taken in this case is because the Department of Health and Human Services has chosen not to enforce the mandated penalty. So the suggestion that there is complete unity between HHS and the hospitals, while I appreciate the secretary's position that they believe we are correct, the truth of the matter is that we are subject to having to give up these documents. And as soon as the document is produced, then the Patient Safety Quality Improvement Act says specifically that the secretary shall make the hospital subject to a fine. In this case, it's $12,919 per violation. Tampa General Hospital, in this case, has 241 documents that could arguably be considered to be violations in each and every case. So even if Tampa General Hospital is successful on appeal, in theory, Mr. Brawley could say, I still want to see those patient safety work product documents outside of the course of litigation. And the Charles case suggests that there's a basis for him to ask for those and that he has the right to receive them.
Mr. Bowen, go ahead. Oh, Judge Branch, go ahead.
Well, this really is an extraordinary situation because you're neither the Florida Health Sciences Center or the Patient Safety Organization of Florida, no one is claiming that this federal law is invalid, correct?
No one other than the state of the courts in the state of Florida, correct?
Well, but they're not saying the federal law is invalid.
They're saying there is no preemption and that state constitutional law is not preempted by the Patient Safety Quality Improvement Act. That's the statement that comes from Charles.
But you're not claiming that this is invalid and you're not claiming that this federal law doesn't apply here. Isn't this simply a collateral attack on the Charles case?
Well, Judge, I think that it necessarily implicates much of the Charles case. I wouldn't disagree with that. But unfortunately, there is no remedy that the hospitals can seek other than to say, if the Charles case stands, and in the state of Florida, that is the current law, then we are now subject to these penalties that HHS is required, that is mandated to levy. And in the Wolschlager case that the 11th Circuit had in front of it in 2017, I think there was an eloquent discussion of pre-enforcement standing. It says the individual plaintiffs who are looking down the barrel of the board's disciplinary gun are not required to guess whether the chamber is loaded. That's the exact scenario that members of Patient Safety Organization Florida are faced with every single day, because we get these requests, from patients who are involved in litigation, from patients who are involved in pre-litigation. And so, unfortunately, we are placed in the position of having to challenge the secretary's authority to be able to levy these fines, because we are, as Judge Moody stated in his order, placed between a rock and a hard place in that regard. So while I agree that there is an element of collateral attack, especially when it comes to preemption, the arguments related to preemption, I would suggest that the federal court, this court, is the only place that we can have such a remedy and have the wrongs redressed. And patients,
or perhaps the state legislature.
Perhaps the state legislature. However, unless and until the state legislature shows an interest in taking that up, there is no ability for us to remedy these wrongs that are being that are happening every single day to Patient Safety Organization members.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen.
Thank you, Judge.
I just wanted to make a few really quick points in rebuttal. Judge Martin pointed out this sort of chain of contingencies. One further thing I'd point out about that is all of those things in the chain of contingencies have to do with what happens in state court, which is only highly indicative that the controversy is with something that's happening in the state system, and that whatever injury that they have is traceable to what is happening in state courts. The second thing I want to address briefly is the idea that they have no remedy in state court. That's incorrect, as this case itself shows. They've gotten a perfectly good remedy in state court, in that there's no standing adverse medical information request outstanding against them. And the second thing I'll just point out is, we live in a system where state and federal courts have concurrent jurisdiction. State courts decide issues of federal law too. And sometimes we might disagree with how a state court comes out on an issue of federal law. But at the end of the day, if things get bad enough and there's a conflict, you go up the state court system, you go to the next court, you go to the next court, and after a while, you end up getting to the US Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So that's how this plays out when you have state court decisions that you end up disagreeing with. You don't sort of jump to a federal court immediately and get a federal district court to decide that question. And last, I just want to point out the part about the mandated penalties, because you know HHS really does disagree with this aspect of it. That, you know, these Patient Safety Act penalties haven't been levied against any of the plaintiffs here. There haven't been notices that these penalties would be levied. HHS has come out twice in public documents and one time in the course of this litigation in a declaration and said it's not HHS's intention to levy those sort of penalties. So just insofar as any of the sort of standing or controversy arguments rest on this idea that there's mandatory penalties, and you know, my colleague from the Patient Safety Organization, you know, mentions these are 240 documents. These are an enormous number, you know, an enormous amount of fines potentially. That only counsels for an interpretation that these really are discretionary penalties at. That can be imposed at HHS's discretion. It really would be an extraordinary assumption, especially in an area where agencies typically have discretion to state that these are mandatory penalties of such a large sum. So for those reasons, we'd again urge this court to reverse or vacate the judgment below.
Thank you, Mr. Fant. I believe that concludes our cases for the day. We appreciate your argument in this case, and we'll take it under advisement. For Judge Newsom and Judge Branch, you want to say 10 minutes we reconvene? Okay, I'll see you then. The court is in recess.